We're turning God's Word tonight to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, the text tonight will be verse 28. Tomorrow morning we'll look at verses 29 and 30. I'll begin reading at verse 20 of Matthew 11 and read through the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking here. He's preaching in the cities there in Judea. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text tonight is verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Our Father, which art in heaven, as we are at the end of this year, we pray that thou wilt use this word to comfort our souls. As those who are weary and heavy laden in our sinfulness and in the consequence of sin in the midst of this world, we pray, O Lord, that we would know at the end of this year true rest and peace in Jesus Christ, so that we would continue to know this in the days and in the years ahead. Give to us, Father, this comfort through the working of the Holy Spirit by means of the preaching of the gospel tonight. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we take the opportunity at the end of this year to look back. And we look back, doing so from the perspective of the Word of God. That's something that's commonly done, to look back upon a year. That's done within the world as well. You'll have news stories about major events of the past year. People who are well-known, famous, who have died in the past year. You'll have stories about the events in the sports world in this past year. There are many things that we could look at as well, the things that have happened in our own lives as individuals and families, the things that have happened in our life as a church. But we must remember, always when we look back, we want to look back from a spiritual and biblical perspective. We want to look back looking at what's happened through the lens of the Word of God. And so that is what we do tonight. And we do that using this passage. And as we look back, what we see is something that's very real for us, being weary and heavy laden. Maybe there are many of us who come here tonight weary and heavy laden. Weary and heavy laden because of many things. Maybe you're not getting a lot of sleep right now because kids are sick. Or you're not able to sleep. Maybe you're tired from the work that you have. Maybe you're weary and heavy laden because of the circumstances of your lives that has been ongoing through this past year and maybe beyond that as well. And it seems that there's no relief in sight. Or maybe you're weary and heavy laden in the knowledge of your sins and sins that God has brought to the surface in this past year. Whatever it is that you're weary and heavy laden with, the Word of God speaks to us tonight. It says, even though we are weary and heavy laden, there is rest. There is rest for us. Jesus, in the text, promises us rest. And so that's what we're going to see tonight as we look back. The rest that there is for the weary. That's our theme tonight. Rest for the weary. You notice, first, the weary laborers. Secondly, the promised rest. And then finally, the blessed call, as Jesus calls us then to come to Him and experience that rest in Him. We have to start with the weariness of which the text speaks, because we don't understand rest without understanding that weariness and being heavy laden. The text describes those who find rest in Jesus Christ as those who know that they are weary and heavy laden. Does that describe us at the end of this year? From a certain perspective, it describes every one of us, no matter what has happened in this past year. The idea of being weary and heavy laden is this. It's laboring hard and constantly in a seemingly hopeless task. That's the idea of those words. The word weary points us to labor and growing weary and tired and exhausted in that labor. Heavy laden refers to someone who's carrying a great burden. In the text that we look at tomorrow, we'll look at the concept of a yoke, and that men in that day would have a yoke that they would put on their backs over their shoulders by which they could carry heavy burdens. They could carry buckets of water, for example, with this yoke that was across their back would be heavy. That's the idea of that term. Heavy laden, growing weary under the weight of that great burden. But the idea is a man who labors and bears a heavy load, but nothing changes. That load remains. And if nothing else, that load, in fact, gets heavier. I was thinking about that from the perspective maybe of a prisoner years ago in a World War II prison camp, either in Germany or in the South Pacific. Maybe some of you have read the book Unbroken and read about that man who was in the labor camps there. Talk about a seemingly hopeless situation, working and working for these enemies with no hope that tomorrow they would be alive. That's the idea here, that kind of weary and being heavy laden. Now we can experience that to some degree in our own lives. And some of the things I described before, maybe it's working a certain job and not getting it seems like very much accomplished in that. That can be what mothers experience in their own work. Seems like not much is produced by their work. They're constantly taking care of kids, especially when they're sick, and it could go on for days and days and weeks and weeks. That's the idea that we have here. And it's not just physical exhaustion. There can be mental exhaustion with that as well. And sometimes we don't know physically, emotionally, how we can go on. That's the idea, but Jesus here is not addressing so much or specifically this physical exhaustion and weariness, but instead he's speaking of a spiritual exhaustion and weariness. And now that's the important question for us. Do we know that? You see, the text, remember, is speaking here of laboring hard and constantly in a seemingly impossible task. That's ours spiritually. It's the weariness of trying to please a holy God that we cannot please because of the sin that is part of us. And the problem is not that God's standard is too high. Sometimes that can be true for us in this life. A standard is too high for us, and that's the problem. We can't possibly meet that standard. Well, the problem here is not that the standard is too high. God cannot lower his standard because he's God. He's holy and he's righteous. But the problem is with us in our own sinfulness. We can never meet the standard of being perfect before him. We can never meet the standard of making any kind of payment for any of our sins. And so the idea here in the text is that the weariness and heavy laden is connected to sin. We're weary and heavy laden because of our sin. We have to see and understand that all other weariness in this life is connected to sin. It doesn't mean it's because we commit a sin and then the result of that, no, that's not the idea. There can be that in our lives. There's a sin that we commit, and we commit it constantly, and there's a weariness that's part of it in the battle against it, and not being able to conquer that ourselves, but it's more than that, too. You see, we live in a sin-cursed world, and the people around us are sinners, and because of that, relationships can become so weary for us because of that sin. And we live in a world in which there's suffering, and there's sickness, and there's death. And all of that is because sin entered into the world. And so the weariness that we experience in this life is always connected to the weariness, the spiritual weariness of our sin, and of sin in this world. And so the question for us is this: at the end of this year, do we find ourselves weary and heavy laden? It's a time for us to look back, to reflect upon this year that's gone by. It's always good to take the time to do that, and a good time for us to do that right here with the Word of God open in front of us. There are many ways in which we could do that, but tonight we do so looking at the past from the perspective of this weariness in sin. Maybe for us, there's been the same sin that's kept coming back in our lives. There's the weariness of what Paul explains in Romans 7 when he says, there's the good that I want to do, but I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And we're weary in that constant battle the more and more we're aware of our own sin. And now tonight we might like to just simply turn the page on that and say, well, tomorrow's a new day. And tomorrow's a new year. I'm just going to put that all behind, and this year's going to be new, and this year's going to be different. But maybe we said that at the beginning of 2014, and maybe we said that at the beginning of 2013, and maybe we said that at the beginning of 2010, and we're still struggling with that sin. And we're still struggling with sin in our own lives. We know that weariness. The weariness of trying to serve God while we still have sinful natures and we live in a world of sin as well. Sometimes in that battle, don't we experience being deflated and weary? It seems so hopeless. But it's good for us to see that. It's good for us to see that tonight so that we can see the rest that we have in Jesus Christ. But that's not the only weariness that we might have at the end of this year. We may experience weariness because of the situations that we face in our lives. Maybe it's a constant, everyday struggle that you're going through because of a person in your life and the way you're being treated by that person, because of a family situation. And that family situation hasn't changed, and it may not change. Maybe in your lives there's constant turmoil, and it feels like your life is so chaotic. Everyday life seems like a constant struggle. Maybe it's that way because of death. A husband has died, a father has died, a wife has died, a mother has died, a good friend has died. The pain is great. The loneliness is real. Maybe it's the weariness of taking care of someone who's sick, taking care of someone who's elderly in your family, and having that care, having to take care of that person day after day. And it becomes weariness. Even though you know it's a good work, it's still a struggle to do it. Maybe it's the stress and the burdens of everyday life that we go through. Maybe it's a work situation. Maybe you feel like you're in a dead-end job, and this job is going nowhere, and your pay is going nowhere as well. It can all seem so hopeless and pointless. These are the real struggles of our lives. These can be the real struggles as we come to the end of another year. And what we begin to hope for is that with the coming of a new year, that everything's going to change. And things are going to be better this year. That's what the world hopes for. But now as we look back, the Word of God does not point us to that and say, that's what we have to hope in. That's what we have to put our trust in. So instead, what the Word of God here does tonight, what Jesus himself does, is he points us to the only rest that there is for us when we're weary and heavy laden. And that rest is found in him. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the text promises sweet and peaceful rest. And this is sweet and peaceful rest. In fact, the only rest that there is, the only true rest, because it addresses the root of our weary and heavy laden lives. That word rest means to cause one to cease from labor. To cause one to cease from labor to recover strength. We sometimes use the word refresh. We need refreshment in our physical work, don't we? We weren't created by God to work 24 hours a day. We can't keep up that kind of pace. We weren't created by God to work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. No, we've been created by God to need rest, real rest, the rest and refreshment of food and drink, the rest and refreshment of having a time apart from our work for a while, the need even for an entire day that's set aside and set apart, physically, yes, and spiritually. Rest is the enjoyment of work that is then finished. We know that in our work too. We finish our work for the day, and then we rest from that. We finish our work for the week, and then we rest from that. Well, spiritual rest is resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Rest is not found in changing our environment. Rest is not found in changing all the circumstances of our lives. Rest is experienced in a finished work. The finished work of Jesus Christ for us. The finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, where he has paid fully for all of our sins. This is the rest that Jesus promises us here in the text. And that is the only true rest that there is. It's knowing that those sins, which become so wearisome and cause me to be heavy laden, that those sins are paid for and those sins are forgiven then because that payment has been made. That's what gives to us rest. That's why we come here. We come here tonight to experience true rest with all of the chaos that may be going on in our lives right now. Rest is not found in an all-expenses-paid vacation to some tropical location, being free from phones, emails, texts, and schedules, as good as all of that may sound. And there's some rest to that, but that ultimately is not the rest that we need. The rest we need and the rest we have is the covenant relationship we have with God. It's the friendship that we have with God now and for all eternity. It's knowing that God is not against me, but instead that God is for me. And it's knowing that I need not and I cannot pay for all of my sins. I cannot work to accomplish that, and I need not because it's been accomplished already by Jesus Christ. And that is what gives me fellowship and friendship with God. So true peace is not found in what we do. It's not found in our own works. It's not found in our accomplishing things. We, of course, know that. We know that in our minds. We know that theologically. We know that that concept is not compatible with salvation by grace alone, but yet how often we easily fall into this idea that the good that we do somehow outweighs the bad in the eyes of God. But that never accomplishes this rest. What that all indicates, and what Jesus is teaching us here then in the text, is that rest is found in a person. Rest is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. But just interesting, in connection with this, I read a couple of things in this past week that are connected with this concept of rest. For example, this past week I read a Christian blog that reflected a little bit on the life of Michael Jordan, the great basketball player, because recently he turned 50 years old. And that Christian blogger pointed out the fact that in an interview recently done with Michael Jordan, that Michael Jordan has no peace and rest in his life. At 50 years old, he said, he would do anything to return to the basketball court because that was the only place that he really found comfort and refuge. Think of that. All that the man has is a basketball court for comfort and refuge and rest. And that's just one example among millions of them, of the people of this world who know no rest in Jesus Christ. But they're seeking it in themselves. They're seeking it in a game. Isn't that where it's at for many Michigan fans right now? The Savior has come. Harbaugh is his name. It's about a man and what he's going to do and the joy he's going to bring to so many people. If you find something that's related to Christianity, that's a false teaching and something that the devil puts there to say, now I can sleep peacefully because the coach has come to save us from our bad records and to bring us bowl games and championships as well. But what we have to see and understand at the end of this year is rest is not found in any of the things of this earth. It's not found in winning the lottery. It's not found in a huge tax return. Rest is not found in our own abilities. Rest is not found in a changing Congress, a different president, or the Supreme Court. Rest is not found in politicians. Rest is not found in more education. Rest is not found in helping to feed the poor so that we can feel better about ourselves. The world in which we live is finding rest in the wrong things. But now the question is for us, what about us? Where are we finding our rest? The Lord Jesus Christ says to us tonight that true rest is found only in Him. It's found in a man, the Son of God become flesh. He is the only true rest giver. And that's because He satisfied the justice of God. He has paid fully for all of our sins. He took the heavy burden of our sins and He took it off of us and He placed it on Himself. And He took care of that burden of our sins by suffering the agony of hell in our place so that we could have rest, true rest with God. That's the finished work in which we find our rest. Jesus Christ gives us this rest, the true rest of knowing the forgiveness of sins. And that's what refreshes us. That's what refreshes us at the end of this year. Because the reality is, none of us likes to look at it. Throughout this whole year, there are so many sins that we've walked in and committed. We couldn't possibly count them all. We'd be so ready to point the finger at somebody else and the sins that have been committed against us and the things that have been done against us. But what about us and the things we've done? And yet there's an answer to that. There's peace for us. There's rest for us in Jesus Christ. And that rest that we find in Jesus Christ addresses all the circumstances of our lives as well. What's the chaos of your life right now? What's going on? What's the struggle? What's the burden? What's weighing you down? What's keeping you from sleeping at night? What's keeping you in bed in the morning so that you don't want to get out of bed in the morning? Well, this is what we know. We have a Savior who paid for our sins, and He loves us. And now He's controlling everything in our lives in that love that He has for us. The beautiful picture of that is what we have in Psalm 23. We're going to sing that in a few moments. Psalm 23, of a sheep that is at rest because it has a faithful shepherd. The sheep that confesses, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I lack nothing." And so that's the sheep that lies down. That's a sheep at rest. We truly are sheep at rest because we have a shepherd who supplies our every need in Jesus Christ. That's the answer to all of the unrest and hardship and difficulty that is found in our lives throughout this past year. So as we come to the end of another year, the question is for us then, do we believe that? Do we believe that that rest is ours in Jesus Christ? Does that take away the fears and worries that we have? All those fears and worries are real, whatever they may be. But is that not the answer to all those fears and worries? The rest we have in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, at the end of this year, comes to us and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here, Jesus promises rest to those who come to Him. This coming to Jesus, as we find it here in the text, is not an invitation of Jesus. It's not a plea of Jesus. Jesus here is not pleading, "Please come to me. Please accept me as your Savior. Please let me into your heart." That's not the way it is. Many would look at this text and interpret this text and preach this text in that very way. They would say that Jesus wants to give you rest if only you would let Him give to you rest. That's not the idea of the text. We know that from the fact that the text here in the "come" is a command. Jesus commands us to come to Him. Now all those who hear the preaching of the gospel hear that command to come to Jesus, but not all come to Jesus. No, it's only those who are His own. That goes with the verses preceding the text. It's not the wise and prudent, but instead the spiritual babes. Those who are chosen by God, but also those who are made to see and know that they are spiritual babes. They're nothing of themselves. They can do nothing for their own salvation. So many others hear that command but do not come to Jesus because they're blind to Him. They cannot see Him. God has not opened up their eyes to see and to know Him. The idea of this coming to Jesus then is believing in Him. It's really a command. Believe in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ is commanding here. Believe that salvation is found in Him alone. Trust in Jesus alone for all that you need. As you're weary and heavy laden in your sin, and weary and heavy laden with the circumstances of your lives, Jesus comes to us and says, "Believe in me that I give to you rest and peace, and I give to you everything that you need because I paid for your sins on the cross." And those who come to Jesus are those who have been given the gift of faith by God. They're those who are chosen by God in whom the Spirit of Jesus Christ works, and they trust alone in Him for salvation. And they're learning to trust in Him in all the different circumstances of their lives. But now at the end of this year, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us and says, find rest in me alone. He's declaring that to find rest in any other is disobedience to this command that he gives, but also it's not consistent with a true and living faith. It's even more than that. To trust in anything else besides Jesus Christ is simply foolishness. It's foolishness. We hear it when we hear people putting their trust in other men or in a game. Foolish. The game passes someone by. He can't play it anymore. He can't do it anymore. A person that someone may place their trust in, he dies. He loses power. It's foolish to trust in the things that pass away, but there is no folly to be found in placing our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the riches that he gives to us are lasting. So we find our rest in Christ alone. Do we at the end of this year? May we believe then that true rest is found alone in him. May we experience that as we begin the new year tomorrow. May we continue to rest in him and his finished work. And may we learn as well then what it means to live out of that. And to learn what it means to be under him as the yoke, as we're going to look at tomorrow morning. How important that we remember at the end of this year all that we've been given by our Lord Jesus Christ. True rest for us, even though we are great sinners. May we hold on to that tonight and in the new year as well. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we are thankful for true rest in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the great need that we have. We pray, Lord, that we would know that, we would confess that, that we would see and understand tonight that this is our greatest need, but also that we have true rest in him. Bless us with that tonight and in all the circumstances of our lives that we face in this new year. Continue to bless us in our fellowship and return us here safely again tomorrow morning, that we may begin the new year praising and glorifying thee, our God. All this we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.